Hey guys, this is Jason Pye. Today I'm talking with State Representative Tom Graves, a Republican candidate for Congress in Georgia's 9th Congressional District. Graves has served in the Georgia General Assembly since 2003 and also served as chairman of the 216 group, the House Conservative Caucus. Representative Graves, thanks for calling in and talking to us.
Oh, this is great. I tell you, I'm excited about this. This is my first ever podcast, so you're ushering me into a new media here, a form of media.
I am glad I could do that. I'm glad that it's me who is ushering you into this new media world, my friend. Tell us about Georgia's 9th Congressional District and why you decided to get into this race.
Yeah, I tell you, the 9th Congressional District is just such an incredible district. Wonderful people, great communities, and on top of all that, it's the fourth most conservative district in the country. So we're having an exciting time in this race, and as you can imagine, as a conservative candidate whom I am, that there's so much momentum and energy behind our candidacy. And so it's really been exciting. Julie and I last year and the kids, after Nathan Deal had made a decision to run for governor, you know, we took time as a family to pray through it, see what was best for our family and where do we best serve Georgia. And we came to the conclusion that we could best serve by taking a little North Georgia common sense a little further north.
Well, some of your opponents say that voters in the 9th District should back, them because they've never served an elected office before. Well, what do you think of that? Do you think that serving an elected office is a bad thing, or you think being a political novice is grounds for being elected to public office?
Well, you know, it's amazing to watch various candidates try to separate themselves, and I guess one way candidates choose to separate themselves is to say, I have zero experience. I don't know what I'm going to be doing up there. I have no idea about politics, and that's why I'm best qualified. But in addition, when they say that, they're saying, well, as soon as I'm elected, I'm unqualified to be reelected. You know, so it's really a faulty premise. I think more than ever right now, you need experience when you make these decisions, because you need experience as to who has proven themselves as a true conservative. It's easy to buy your way into a race, as several candidates are doing, and to print whatever they want on the mailpieces. But the proof is in the history and the evidence of your policy-making decisions, the policies you've advanced. And so, that's just their way to try to separate themselves. But I stand very solidly behind my record of being a proven conservative, advancing conservative policy throughout Georgia.
Well, it's no secret that you've been a rising star in the Georgia political scene, and recently you had many conservatives and Republicans across the state asking you to run for Speaker of the House. Why did you choose to turn down that opportunity and stay the course with your race for Congress?
Well, I'm one that I truly believe in that we need to be focused on the mission and not the position, and it was an honor to be encouraged to seek that position. But it goes back to, where can I best serve? And Julie and I had made a commitment that we were going to run for Congress, and we had a tremendous amount of support behind us and a lot of supporters that were really encouraged by our candidacy, and we weren't going to turn our back on them, and we were going to advance continue advancing this campaign forward. And as you can see, David Ralston is making an excellent speaker, and I'm pleased with his speakership, and I'm certainly pleased with the decision we made to continue the course.
Well, there's a lot of talk about economic stimulus and Keynesian economics and, government intervention in the economy. And the president has proposed a jobs bill, which was they invoked cloture yesterday in the Senate on it, and they're hopefully going to have a vote in the House here in a few days trying to move it forward. But you've proposed your own version of a quote-unquote economic stimulus by proposing the Jobs Act or the Jobs Bill, and it's been getting a lot of press in Georgia. Tell us a little bit about that legislation and how you're taking a different approach than the administration or Democrats in Congress.
Yeah, my approach is always, how do you look at the issues we face through a conservative lens? And basically it is getting government out of the way. And if we're going to emerge through these economic times first, and which is what I anticipate, Georgia should lead the nation in economic recovery, then we have got to expand the private sector and not expand government. And so I'm a firm believer in free market principles and capitalism, and allow the markets to work. They will correct themselves, and we'll get through these challenging times. you know, what we see out of Washington is totally the opposite. They want to take control of it through this you know, buyout and the bailouts and the stimuluses and cash for clunkers, all these various programs which, as we've seen, have failed. And now they decide they're going to rename it the Jobs Bill or whatever they're calling it in Washington right now, which, you know, if they don't repeal the stimulus and get the earmarks out of the proposal that they have, we're really not moving the country forward in any way. We're actually moving in the wrong direction.
Well, since you brought up earmarks, I think this would be a good time to point out that you've been endorsed by the Club for Growth PAC, which the Club for Growth is very much against earmarks and the process they're inserted into spending bills. What's your personal take on earmarks, and what are you going to do if elected on earmarks? Would you do like your predecessor did and not accept earmarks? Or are you going? I mean, how are you going to balance that out?
I am purely a non-earmark candidate. I do not believe that we need to be earmarking anything out of the federal government. That you know, the federal government is bound by the role which is defined within the Constitution, and that is in no way doling out special projects across the country and turning it into a political process when we've got so many other things that we need to be working on. So I've signed a no earmark pledge, and we'll stand behind that. And I'm convinced that the constituency of North Georgia stands behind that as well and says, you know what, we'll take care of ourselves. And if you've got money to send in earmarks, keep it, just reduce our taxes. And that's the best way you can benefit the constituents in North Georgia.
Speaking of earmarks and economic stimulus, not too long ago, one of your opponents was in Dawson County with Vice President Joe Biden praising stimulus spending. This is the same person also stated at the Forsyth Republican Women's Meeting that he was for the stimulus package, or at least most of it. Do you share his position on the stimulus bill? And let me point out that he would have been the only Republican to support it in the House if he were a voting member at the time it were passed.
Right, and certainly the stimulus bill is nothing I would support nor consider supporting. I mean, again, that is just a failed theory of Keynesian economics, which does not work, and specifically does not work when you do not have a balanced budget. And you know, I think North Georgia is looking for folks that are going to stand up against that, that are going to have a bold voice against that, and then after that, offer productive solutions and how do we work through these challenging days. So, you know, if my opponents, you know, want to stand up and say they'll take stimulus money or look for photo ops with the vice president, you know, that's certainly their prerogative, but Tom Graves ain't going
to
do that.
Well, I kind of referred to this particular opponent's, you know, moment with the vice president, or at least going to this you know, event in Dawson County as kind of his Charlie Crist moment. Charlie Crist when Barack Obama came to town, he hugged Barack Obama and sat there and praised the stimulus bill. So it kind of reminds me of that with this particular state senator. It's sort of odd to claim to be for free markets and then support a stimulus bill, which really eventually is going to crowd out the economy and cause more unemployment. And, you know, we're going to be repeating the cycle. It seems to be the definition of insanity. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think what Americans are starting to realize is that the more we expand government, we've taken intellectual capital and real capital out of the private sector and shifted it to the public sector. And when you do that, you just begin that stranglehold on the private sector, and we need to be doing exactly the opposite. We need to be shifting that intellectual capital and wealth back to the private sector. And it's simple. I mean, it's so simple. All you have to do is reduce the regulation, the taxation on businesses and on Americans, and things will self-correct them, you know, self-correct. But the more the federal government continues to manipulate the markets, the worse things will get.
Well, President Obama released his health care proposal on Monday. He's trying to bridge the gap between the House and the Senate. It seems to be more of the same, an individual and employer mandate, more taxes, which includes a violation of his pledge not to raise taxes on families making under $250,000 a year. Do you see Obamacare passing? And what are some ideas that you believe could help lower the cost of health care, keeping premiums down and making the market more competitive without creating another government-run health care program?
Well, you bring up exactly what the debate should be about, and that is the price, affordability of health care. Their debate is all about providing health care across the board to everyone. And instead, you need to focus on affordability. I mean, health care is something that consumers have the option to purchase, and that they can make those decisions based on what is best for their family and themselves. And so my proposals would be very simple. That is, you do engage the free market, you create more competition. That's how you reduce the health care cost. And as we've introduced here in the Georgia General Assembly, allowing consumers here in Georgia to purchase insurance across state lines, of which I'm a co-author of with Matt Ramsey, I mean, that's a great way to introduce more insurance products into the marketplace. And whenever you do that, you created more competition, you have more options, you have more decisions that can be made by the consumers, and ultimately prices come down. I mean, so many other free market concepts can be proposed, but a government-run healthcare system is not going to work. It's not going to lower prices. It will only increase the burdens and the regulations on all Americans.
Now, let me switching gears a little bit. The 10th Amendment seems to be making a comeback these days, really the Bill of Rights in general, but especially the 10th Amendment. While I'm not a fan of the term states' rights, I do believe very much in the concept of federalism. Would you, as a member of Congress, cast votes that respect the 10th Amendment?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is one of the incredible risings that have come out of all this debate with health care, is that, you know, states have rights. The states created the federal government. It is not the other way around. And for far too long, we've allowed the tentacles of the federal government to work into the states and to basically control the decision-making of the states. And that has got to cease. And the way you begin that process of reversing it is you begin making those decisions today that we will not move forward in that direction anymore with new policies that infiltrate the states. And then we begin trying to reverse that process and pull those tentacles back out of the states and allow the states to make the decisions that are best for them and the people that reside within the borders of the states.
I have a few more questions for you. And this one is sort of, you know, Republicans, they seem to be making, or they seem to be, you know, likely making gains in Congress this fall. It doesn't seem to be that voters are responding to Republican ideas and views. There seems to be just more animosity towards the other party. And it's very similar to what when Republicans were thrown out of office in 2006. Voters weren't responding very much to what Democrats were proposing at the time. Do you believe the Republicans have, suffered enough, you know, as far as... it's time for them to be back in power? Do you think Republicans deserve what they got, deserve getting thrown out of Congress?
You know, Republicans, they certainly strayed from the principles that they had promised to the American people when they were put in the majority. And I think the American people held them accountable for that, and rightfully so. And unfortunately, it ushered in an era of tremendous government growth and spending that probably was unimaginable would occur. I think what we have to recognize now is it's not about the party label, because those are labels only. Mm-hmm. It is about the belief system and the principles of the persons who are elected. And I'm very clear that I'm a conservative first, then I'm a Republican. And I'll make decisions based on the conservative philosophy and the principles of conservatism. And I would hope that would align with the Republican Party platform. As I'm a Republican, but, you know, oftentimes not all Republicans agree. So I will make decisions based on my philosophy and my principles first, constituencies next, and then any Republican leadership after that.
Well, I hope, I really do hope Republicans can seem to get it together, because I don't think taxpayers can take much more of what Barack Obama's pushing down our throats in the Democratic Congress. I'm not, by no means am I endorsing the 6 years of fiscal train wreck that was the Bush administration and a Republican-controlled Congress, but, you know, divided government seems to work the best, and that's why I'm not rallying for Republicans, but I am rallying for a divided government. Let me ask.
Well, and I'll follow up on that too, and just say, you know, the voters held Republicans accountable, and I sense that the Republican Party has learned from that, and they are very responsive to that. and very understanding that they need to return back to the roots and the core principles of the Republican Party, and in order to be entrusted again with that ability to govern. And I hope that they do. And as a member of the next Congress in the Republican conference there, I will continue to advocate conservative principles and continue to present that message of how you can solve challenging, very challenging problems with a limited government approach, and how that we need to begin that messaging again of how we do that. And I think Republicans have lacked in messaging, quite frankly. And you know, there are a lot of great solutions that can come out of the Republican Party and out of that philosophy, but they've got to be able to message it well and regain the trust of the American people.
Well, let me ask you, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners and, you know, just even the voters in the 9th District?
Well, I just want to say this is an extremely exciting time to be campaigning across North Georgia. We have been blessed with the amount of support we've received, and we'll continue working hard for the next 147 days that are in this primary election. And I'm really excited about it. And I'd encourage anyone listening to this here to go to our website, which is Graves, G-R-A-V-E-S, for congress.org, and can learn a tremendous amount about myself and the issues and the ideas that I advance, and certainly be honored to have their support.
Well, you mentioned your website. Are you on Facebook or Twitter for those of us in new media land?
Sure. We have a great Facebook presence, and it's just Tom Graves fan page, and readily updated, and great access to our campaign and what's going on a daily basis. And then as well on Twitter, and we certainly encourage followers, and we love to follow others as well.
Well, thank you very much, Tom, for your time. We wish you the best of luck, and you know, it's good to have conservatives like you around that actually you know, walk the walk.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you for introducing me to the podcast. This is great. Look forward to doing it again sometime.
Hey, anytime you're wanting to talk, let us know.
Okay, thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Tom. Take care.